Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM Fox Sports and Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM, the soul in sports. I'm your host, Mike Knox, and indeed, it's a pleasure to be with you guys today. It's been a while, so I'm excited to be back here live on the airwaves doing what we like to do best, and that's talk sports live right here in the barbershop, where barbershop talk meets radio. Today is Monday, people. You know what that means. You had a weekend. I had a weekend. What was your weekend? Matter of fact, this is the best and worst of that weekend. How was it? Over, unders. We got a lot to discuss. I mean, first, as always, people, the particulars. Number to call in, 347-637-3859. Also, follow us on the station that gives you the identification at 1340 AM Fox Sports. Also, follow yours truly. I am loud. I speak loud. And fellas, frankly, well, you know the rest. With three X's because I am hardcore. And also, follow the station you're tuned in and listening to right now, the Soul, S-O-U-L, capital letter N, sports people. And as always, I wear my heart on my sleeve, and I wear it this way. You can say what you want to say about, oh, LeBron James. Yeah, I'm going to say it because I think it needs to be said. You can have all your naysayers talk about, oh, it's not fair to criticize LeBron. It's not fair. You know, he don't have the team. Really? Is that really what y'all want to use? Do y'all really want to sit here and make fun of Walt Clyde Frazier? That's what we're doing now. We're making fun of Hall of Famers because they're speaking their mind, Steven Jackson. We're making fun of Hall of Famers because they're speaking their minds. You're making fun of his suit. Did you see the suit you had on today? Yeah, I work with Fox Sports Radio, so I watch every Fox Sports program. Your suit wasn't too fancy out there thinking you some kind of broke back, broke with your turtleneck on and your jewelry flossing. Okay, that was a nice shirt. I ain't gonna lie, it was a nice turtleneck, and the jewelry was dope as well. But still, Rod had the point. And I've watched the Lakers all year long. I've never seen that distance from LeBron to the other end of the bench. And yes, I know he sits down there all the time, but during a timeout, I've watched Laker games when LeBron was in the game and they had a timeout. He looked involved. So the fact that this so-called, and you can see me right now in my air quotes, so-called GOAT, I said it, so-called GOAT, goes 0-13 in the fourth quarter and loses to the Wally, the willful New York Knickerbockers? Come on, man. Let's stop the GOAT talk right there. Let's talk about how LeBron has ruined, has tainted this season because he's off making Space Jams 2. Oh, because he's out there doing more rip-off of Barbershop Talk Radio on his program. Or let's give LeBron another break because, oh, he got a bunch of babies in L.A. and he can't win with them. I've seen LeBron win with a lot less than what he got in L.A. Next excuse. Tired of it all, people. Has LeBron tainted this season for the Los Angeles Lakers? Let's talk about it. 347-637-3859. Also, best and worst of the weekend. Did you not see Earl Spence taking on Mikey Garcia on Saturday? Now, listen, people. I am on record. I will continue to be on record for saying I think Terrence Bud Crawford is pound for pound in boxing. But I tell you one thing I learned on Saturday watching Earl Spence Jr. put on a clinic against Mikey Garcia. Well, I learned two things. Number one of the two things is Mikey Garcia got heart. If you didn't know Mikey Garcia had heart, go back and watch that fight. Or if you got Showtime this weekend, watch it as it comes live on Showtime. Since you pay for that, pay subscription. But if you saw the fight, oh, you saw the heart of one Mikey Garcia. Also, what I learned, not the fact that I know he was bigger than Mikey Garcia, so I actually had it. I thought he was going to finish the fight. Everybody predicted a unanimous decision that came out. I thought, you know, he would finish him. I did. I thought Earl Spence would finish him. And so that's giving credit to one Mikey Garcia. But we're going to talk about that as well as we talk boxing pound for pound. Also, Adrian Peterson. Also, all the picks or the free agents that are coming to the D.C. area, Landon Collins, et cetera. Deshaun Jackson and Trey, not for agency, coming back to Philadelphia, but Philadelphia picking up their picks. Let's talk about the NFL free agency in the NFC East and how and who we think is coming out so far on top. Now, you know, we on that road to WrestleMania, so we already know you stopped around the blocks with Mike Knox on that road, but now you're going to make a quick stop in the barbershop. Get your shape as we go down this road to WrestleMania and break it down for you. 347-637-3859. Also, bringing in live from the DMV, we know his black ass got some idea. If not, they're going to lock his black ass. So I'm just being honest with y'all, people. He out there driving in them streets. What's going on, Wale?
What's going on, Mike, man? It's March Madness, man. That's self-explanatory. It's about that time, man. It's about that time.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to talk about that because as I have my brackets up, okay? Now, you know, every year we do a bracket online, right? And every year we do that bracket online, what we're doing on air. I make a bad bracket on air. But then my bracket off air be better. Like fantasy football, I keep saying I'm never going to draft on air again, but it's so entertaining. But I lost to Micah this year in fantasy football. You know what I'm saying? So maybe I just need to focus a little more. So I'm going to attempt to do a bracket live on air today periodically throughout the show. But I will say this about March Madness. Could they make it easier for Duke if they've made it? I'm sorry. I'm a North Carolina fan. But am I wrong? They got North Carolina. They got Kansas. They got Auburn. And they got Kentucky. And the same reason? That's unfair. Until they have to play freaking Michigan State. That's their only competition. Maybe. Okay, you might want to say LSU, but come on. That's just me, Wally. Your take.
I will say this. They're all the number one overall seed, so they're supposed to have the easiest bracket. That's how it's supposed to be. Like You're supposed to have the easiest bracket. You're absolutely right.
You're supposed to.
But I will say this, though. In other years, that has uh-huh. I've seen a number one overall seed been screwed and have a real tough bracket. But if I'm going to be fair, this is how it's supposed to be, though. This is how it's supposed to be. Michigan State
that easy.
Is a good
that
two
easy.
Seed.
That easy. I've never seen a region this – I've never said everything is easy, Wally. I haven't.
I'll say this too. I want to add this too. This year in college basketball, a lot of easy teams. I mean, you may see the name and you assume like, oh man, this is tough. You know, Carolina, Kansas. Kansas ain't that good to me. You know, I look at the name first.
I get that. When I say Kansas,
college.
You're right. They're not good. They're not that good. The Kansas we're used to seeing, but it's still Kansas.
Yeah.
Historically,
I get it. You see the name, and that's where everybody, you know, that's what you want to rock with. And they're well coached, right? Because this dude, they won championships. Bill Self has won a championship. But at the same time, when you see, like, the landscape of college basketball, there are not a lot of good teams. I really believe that. Like, Carolina, Duke, Gonzaga. And Gonzaga is a team that can go any which way. but they're a good team. They can go any which way. Virginia, a good team. Again, they can go any which way. Those are like the two really good teams. I mean, the four real good teams in college basketball. You need Michigan has to get hot. Michigan State has to be hot. But if you look at the landscape of college basketball, there aren't that many great teams.
No, there's two to three. Let me rephrase that. I'm gonna be honest here. There's about
and
four
Carolina's
good
like
teams.
They surprised me.
There's four good teams in college basketball. Everybody else to me
is
in the same of the pack. And normally in years past, when you do these brackets, as we're going to attempt, I'm going to attempt anyway, to do one today, and we will have one for the Solon Sports. I'll make it public sometime between now and tomorrow. So you guys got the link via Twitter, Facebook, whatever. But I can see right now, it ain't going to be too many 11s, 5s, and 7s moving forward. It ain't. It's just going to be 1-1-1-1 or 1-2-1-2, 2-2-2-2 maybe. But it ain't going to be no 8s and 9s in there. We ain't getting no
I agree.
You know what? Who the hell played last year from Chicago? With bitten Mother Betty.
I know
it was.
I know you're talking about. They
didn't make the tournament.
You don't get that.
That's not happening. But the weekend, as we talk best and worst of the weekend, all right. And one of the best things I've seen this weekend, an early best around, was watching the Philadelphia 76ers take on the Milwaukee Bucks, and he calling him an effing baby. I thought that was so dope, right? Because then right behind that, Benny comes right back. I wasn't as expecting.
You got him.
Right? You got him right back, though, right? Like, that game was so entertaining on so many levels. It made me, as I'm watching that game, they cut through to that game and show you the end of where I'm going to start about your Los Angeles Lakers. Your LeBron James. I'm saying that because you're a Lakers fan. So, ergo, what comes with LeBron, you have to take it all in one time. And, of course, I'm not dumb. I would take LeBron in a heartbeat in Chicago or Philadelphia. So let me just put all that out there. All what I hear, all what you were here today, negative at 347-637-3359. It's hitting with greatness, okay? It's just no, I'm not dumb, okay? But he tainted the season, Wally. He, LeBron, in honor of Micah, LeBron Horacio Rodriguez James, tainted the Los Angeles Lakers season, Wally. Tell me I'm lying, because before he got hurt, they were going to be a 2-3 seed. Still will hold that to my breath. And somewhere in there, when he pulled his groin, his balls left with him. Tweet that. I don't give a damn, King Bonjour 720 on the Twitter, to the icons of rock and rolls, to the stars. Don't care. When he hurt his groin, he left his balls at home with him. He gained weight. He went to the movie theater and said, you know what? Why I got to play hard this year? I'm going to wait till next year. Really? You hate Kobe Bryant, but Kobe ain't do that. Michael ain't do that. Shaq, his best friend, Wayne Wade, would never play or taint a season like everybody's so-called king there, Wally.
All right, so here we go. LeBron had a groin injury. See, Chris Paul had the same groin injury. What's his name? Steph Curry had the same groin injury. Even Steph said it before LeBron went out when we got hurt in that game. It was like, yo, this is serious. This is not going to be something easy to come back from. Steph told LeBron this. This is before LeBron even stepped on the court, and LeBron was trying to, you know, put himself in, you know, in terms of training, getting himself back into shape to play after the groin injury. But he found out it was hard. It wasn't easy. So that's one. Age plays a part, too. LeBron is an older individual with that injury. So it's not like a young dude with that injury. Now, in terms
I get a partial blind tag. I'll be real fast with this. LeBron James is not your typical 38-year-old. He keeps his body.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
Shape. But I think when he went home, you saw the weight he gained. And I get you can't do what he's used to probably doing because of the groin injury. But quick one. Go ahead.
But I'm saying you got a groin. I mean, a groin injury is hard to come back from in any sport. Everybody knows in any sport. You see it in football. You see it in basketball. Like, when you got a groin, it's not an injury. You're going to come back in a week. It usually takes about a month. And the Lakers needed LeBron to come back fast because, again, you saw what Luke Walton was doing without LeBron. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't getting them boys playing. And I'm going to say this again. For everybody who says, like, he tried to put on LeBron, he almost averages a triple-double. And I would say this, even LeBron out, there are other teams in the NBA, right? They have one with less talent. Like, I'm not even saying, like, have won, like, over 500. Look at the Clippers team. What superstars on the Clippers? They traded Tobias Harris and they still win games.
Mm-hmm.
They still win games. They were winning games like anybody put out there, they win games. So my thing about is to Luke, I'm looking at Luke Walton. You got supposedly you got Kuzma, who everybody says is untradeable.
Are you going to say this on the coach?
No, listen. I'm consistent. I've been saying that when LeBron was on the floor. I'm very consistent. I'm not like everybody else who wants to bash him after. I'm very consistent. I've been on. You, anybody look at my tweet about Luke Walton prior to LeBron being hurt, when LeBron was hurt, when LeBron is back. Look at the sub pattern. It's easy to say this. Like, it's easy for folks who don't watch the game, don't watch the Lakers play. Watch the sub patterns. Everybody laughed when McGee and Beasley and them were going on Luke Walton. But they laughed because the dudes who said it, because the dudes are jokes, to be real with you. But at the same time, there's some truth to it. You know what I'm saying? There's some truth to, like, his side saying, you know what, we want Luke out of there. Like, Luke, for this team, is not a good coach. Is not a good coach. And everybody going to bring up the Golden State Warriors and how we did well. He did well with the Golden State Warriors. You had Steph, Clay, Draymond. That team was a well-oiled machine off, you know, period. So my thing about Luke is, like, Luke got to go. Like, Luke got to go.
I'm sorry, but he has to go. But you Lakers fans,
and I can't do it.
It's the truth. It should be y'all seat right now. So all Lakers Nation,
we briefly pause the interview to give Kelly a moment.
It's our show.
Come on now.
Yeah, be more music.
I get that Luke Walton needs to go. I get that. But there's no way I'm going to sit here as a friend, as a brother, as a peer in journalism, integrity, and let you alienate yourself like that and try to put the whole entire blame on this coach. Now, you know as well as I know, outside of maybe somebody like Pat Riley, LeBron has coached every damn team he's had. He has had influence, if you will, so to speak, on everything that's happened in the game. So I get the falls of this coach. And let's be real. I haven't liked the coach since that, you know, they let my boy go. Shout out to Tracy Murray. Okay? So I ain't liked him since then. All right? So I let the coach go. Let's say the coach's fault all the way. And it's very rare that I see fans or even journalists defend one or the other here. I can't believe 347 spot face, the MVP, spot face promotions. I'm sorry. He got me bewildered and discombobulated, mama. Spot, you hear that?
Yo, first of all, I am not the biggest Luke Walton fan. I thought he was okay at Arizona. I didn't think he was the great white hype as they tried to make him out to be because he was Bill Walton's son. But he didn't get his shot blocked on the court yesterday. In the fourth quarter to win the game, that was all LeBrick James, if you will. And again, I love LeBron for everything he does off the court, but on the court, I mean, it's proven fact now. This season proves it. LeBron was a beast in the East, but when he plays the best in the West, this is his record. He's average.
I want to tag you well because here's the thing about LeBron James, I believe, more than any athlete in history. And I'm going to say some facts before so you know how they say build him up before you knock him down. LeBron James should be credited for what you just said about he is the GOAT off the court. No one compares to him with only the exception of Muhammad Ali, okay, when it comes to off-the-court things he does for people, okay? When it comes to being a man, a father, you don't see him cheat. He's not in the clubs. You know, no criminal action. Nothing against his wife or his children. He's a great role model. I love LeBron James for those things. But what I knew was going to happen this year, go back, King Von Jr. on the tapes. Go back, Wally, when I talked about the scapegoat, if you will, was already being made for LeBron. It was going to be the West conversation was going to come to pass. It was going to be the fact that he didn't have his team. It was going to be the coach. If he had failed, you hear all the things we're hearing now about why they failed. Instead of if he would have succeeded, which he was starting to do before injury, it'd have been all LeBron. I don't like that. When LeBron wins,
the
it's LeBron.
Same exact
LeBron
record.
Never LeBron.
They
never
have
LeBron
the same
lose.
Exact record right now that they did last year. So he's literally made no difference this season. They have the same exact record at the same exact point.
That's false, though. That you ain't adding everything in. LeBron missed how many games, though?
But they were still in a playoff. They were still in a playoff hunt when he came back. Losing to an Anthony Davis-less New Orleans Pelicans, that's on him. He's on court. Losing to the New York Knicks by 1 point, who should be taking the draft, Zion Williamson, that's his fault. I'm sorry. Headband off, Rogaine aside, it's his fault.
Uh-huh.
If
you're gonna go in like that, where were they at in seed wise before he left out?
They were a three seed. It was like four, three,
and they're all in the same. They were all in the same spot. So arguably,
they were competing for a third seed.
When he came back, this team was already over .500. Regardless of the fact, LeBron is in that game in that stretch. If he's not hurt in that stretch, we'd be talking about it totally different. So you can use, I'm saying, you can say,
way?
Like,
in
yeah, they're not the same team. They're
in
not,
what way? In what way? You said we were talking same. About
No, no, he was, Spot was saying that they're the same team. They got the same record they had last season. It's like you got to add all, you got to put everything on the table with that, though.
Of course,
injury, players, all that. That LeBron
okay, but
had,
even after the 17
out,
games that they
the
lost,
team,
they were still
the
a ninth seed. I don't want to hear that. They were still
saying,
a ninth and tenth
no,
seed
no,
when he came
no,
back.
No, yeah, but again.
Go ahead, Mike.
No, because I get where they fell without LeBron. I get that. And I understand but everybody thought even when LeBron went out, damn, they could at least be .500. So that's where Luke Walton was supposed to step up. I give you that. I'm not disputing him once he got hurt. What I'm saying is that when he got back, they had plenty of time to make up the difference. Because even then,
That
you shouldn't be losing to Sacramento, to Phoenix, to those teams, Wally. Go ahead.
No, they shouldn't. But at the same time, though, what I'm saying is that one, he's not even 100%. Like you watch him play, he's not 100%. You think LeBron's 100% coming off the groin? Do you think he's 100%? He couldn't get his lift on the
If he's on the court, if he's on the court,
right.
Yeah, see, that's my thing. You're on the court. NFL.
Kobe's on the court with the bad Achilles. Kobe's on the court with a bad. I don't even hold that against Kobe on the court with a bad Achilles. No one says anything about uplifting anybody. I don't even carry Kobe like that. And I'm not even
okay.
Kobe
answer to the GOAT? Who's the next Michael Jordan? Allen Iverson play with all kind of bang ups. You don't play if you can't play. So if you hurt, sit your ass down.
I'm not arguing. Yeah. Who's Allen Iverson's coach, though?
Brown.
Oh, my goodness. You got to have everything slided for LeBron.
Look, I'm a basketball savant. I'm going to tell you, like, coaching and basketball players go hand in hand. Kobe wasn't winning without Phil Jackson. Michael wasn't winning without Phil Jackson. Tim Duncan ain't winning without Pop. So coaching go hand in hand with superstars. Well, ain't true. That's what I mean by winning. That's what I call winning.
Okay, since he's on the LeBron train,
Mike said it's Magic's fault, and I put a lot of fault on him as well.
Oh,
go ahead.
I got blame on Magic
too.
Go ahead, continue.
Okay, my question is right with these games that he's back, the whole Anthony Davis situation when you're willing to trade the whole roster except for the water boy and LeBron. Does that not mess with the chemistry of the organization?
Agreed.
With a veteran star leader should be pulling the team together, saying, "Yo, let's do this. Let's do this together. Let's make the playoffs. Let's do it for LA."
This is why I agree. The blame on LeBron ain't basketball to me. It's that trade. Like, dude, you try to get all them young boys. You try to get all them young boys traded. Like you did, bro. Don't keep it 100. You try to get all them young boys traded. What you think gonna happen, bro? That trade gonna go down. What you think gonna happen?
When I say tanking, I'm not talking about necessarily basketball play, which that has to that obviously isn't to me. When you speak, that's obviously part of the reason, right? Whether he's injured, whether he's not injured, but in past, like now, everybody leads differently, right? Mike kind of led with the slight of intimidation, but more like I'm lead by example. Like I refuse to lose, so you can't lose. Kind of an attitude, right?
Exactly.
Some people teach, some people motivate with words. LeBron has been a guy like just across sports for a second. They say, "Oh, look at Baker Mayfield with Odell Beckham. Oh, he finally got a quarterback on the same age as him. He can get along with him better, right?" That's been LeBron's thing. LeBron has been able to get along with everybody. And when this all happened, him and Magic alienated that entire team. And I like the rumors that came out on Fox Sports 1340 AM from one of our beat reporters that said that she had heard before the All-Star break that the veterans were the ones on the court getting upset with LeBron for how he was doing things. So you're talking about your Rondos. You're talking about your Tyson Chandlers. You're talking about your Michael Beasley, who's now back overseas in China. Just repeated, you know, things with LeBron not being LeBron. I think L.A. ate LeBron up. And I know when I went to L.A., it ate me up. It's okay. It's L.A.
LeBron is so toxic that Beasley went back to China. I'm sorry.
I'm Bees is like, but Bees is a different situation. Bees' mom died. That's a whole different situation. So Bees ain't LeBron. That wasn't LeBron. Bees and LeBron ain't had no issue. That's more Bees had issues because his mom passed. Well, that's different. Like, Bees is on a whole different. His mom passed.
I owe your friend Kobe, friend of program, $50. Okay, I'm mad enough. I will PayPal him this week, or not PayPal. What's that thing called? Cash App his ass. Okay, I've just been waiting because technically the season's not over, so I don't have to send it to him right away. So I'm purposely just waiting to the season's over before I send him his money, right? So, but I'm sorry, guys. LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers should have finished 2 or 3 in the West, and they were on their way to doing that. At least top four. And so when I hear people like you were starting to say, like, I don't want to hear this West trash. I don't hear that. I'm sorry, because yes, LeBron owned the East. The East last year with LeBron was there was better. They didn't win it. You know, it still was LeBron. But they're really better. I mean, sorry, none of my words went well right there. But the East is way better this year than it was last year. So, I don't think it would have been a cakewalk for LeBron if he was in the East. Okay? Also, I don't want to hear this, the West ate him up. This proves the West was bad. The West was hard. So, no, LeBron got hurt and LeBron stopped caring about playing basketball, in my opinion. And then also – The trade stuff manifests with these, am I staying or am I going? And it ate him up. It ate the team up, and he should be the blame, him and Magic Johnson, who you say is the GOAT, for ruining the Los Angeles Lakers.
Rob Pelinka, too.
I just can't never pronounce
it. Jeannie Buss, because she hired all of them. Jeannie Buss, because she brought them all in. She's on the position. So I blame everybody.
Acknowledge the fact that your season was y'all threw the season away like the Knicks throwing away the season to get Zion. Do you not see that now? That y'all threw this all away for next year? This has all been a 2-year plan. They played us. We've been hoodwinked. We've been led astray that LeBron could come here and rise in the West. So when he does it next year with all the help, allegedly, can we then say LeBron can't win without help?
Of course. We've been knew that. He was the one that went to Miami.
He did. He did. And I saw a meme today, which, you know, these memes. First of all, the best meme I've seen all weekend long was F.R. Kelly. Can we find out who the hell killed Biggie and Tupac? Since y'all want to bring up old stuff. That was the best meme I've seen all weekend long, by the way. But I see the comparison of prime LeBron in Miami stats versus Giannis. And Giannis has better stats. Just saying. I don't think Giannis is LeBron James. Let me just stop for somebody. To take my words out of context. 347.
Who'll get a shot? Who does he get a shot?
3859. I'm going to try to go with this first round here, guys. So, in the East, the Duke. I don't even know who the hell they're. Whoever they play, they're going to win, right? One of these HBCUs, right? It's not even fair. I'm going to go for the purpose of the station, which is VCU. We cover them, but I live right next to UCF. But I'm still going to go with VCU. Shaka Smart was there. I definitely picked VCU. Then we got Mississippi State versus Liberty. I've watched Mississippi State play this year. I like how they get up and down the floor. I don't know too much about Liberty other than what I saw in the past, their conference tournament this past week. It's a 12-5, and that's what you got to say. Give me a 12-5. I'm not taking Liberty over Mississippi State. I like Mississippi State. Give me them. Then we got Virginia Tech versus St. Louis. You know what I think was overrated in the ACC? Virginia Tech. Give me St. Louis, a 13 upsetting the 5 in that category. Then we got Maryland taking on either Belmont or who the hell's the other school? I can't get the name. That's why I'm like using the four letters bracket. I didn't see the whole damn name of the teams. Okay, not just abbreviation. That just tells you right there that even the four letter don't think they're going to win. So give me Maryland, okay? And honor of the DMV, I'm sorry, outside the DMV guy right here, my boy, my man, Wally. Wow. Then we got LSU versus Yale. I like LSU. I think LSU can go deep in this tournament. It's just in the wrong goddamn bracket. Then we got Louisville versus Minnesota. Give me Minnesota out of the Big Ten, beating the ACC Louisville. Then we got Michigan State versus Bradley. Easily give me Michigan State. I'm going to go on to the next round. Michigan State beats Minnesota, Big Ten matchup, wash it, lock it up. LSU over Maryland, lock it up. Mississippi State over St. Louis, and then Duke, of course, over VCU. We're going to move over now here to the South. Virginia, number one. They only have problems with a couple people here, guys, right? But the only – here's the problem. What's the other bracket I was getting to? The Gonzaga, not the Gonzaga bracket, the North Carolina bracket. They have a lot of people outside of Kentucky that slow the ball down a lot and play hard, grind out basketball. And that's also over here in the South, okay? So Virginia's style of play is grinding out basketball. Gardner Webb has no chance in this game. And we know they could be upset by 16-1 because they got upset last year by 16, first time I ever seen it. But this year, Virginia moves on. Give me Oklahoma over Ole Miss. Give me Manute Bol's son in Oregon over Wisconsin. There's my 12 of my 5, Wally. You like that one? I don't know. You'll tell me later. Give me St. Mary's to lose. Y'all think Jay Wright's going to get bounced in the first round? They were champions last year. Give me Jay White and the Villanova Wildcats to go on in the first round. Then we got Purdue versus Old Dominion. Give me the Big Ten. I'm taking Cincinnati, a number 7 seed. But Cincinnati is a strong team, but so is Iowa. This is actually, to me, one of the most intriguing round one games you can get from two teams that I've watched a while. And this is really a toss-up game, in my opinion, between Cincinnati and Iowa. But I'm going to go with Cincinnati in this one. Give me Tennessee over Colgate. Give me Tennessee over Cincinnati in the next round. Give me Villanova to upset Purdue in the second round. And I missed the game. I'm sorry. UC Irvine versus Kansas State. You ready for this, guys? Another 13 shocker. Give me UC Irvine. Them boys like to run over Kansas State. Then the next round, give me Virginia to lose. And the next round, as they go on to the Sweet 16, give me Oregon to beat UC Irvine. Give me Villanova to beat Purdue, like I said, in Tennessee. That's my first half of my bracket right now. Moving on to the Sweet 16 from the South and the East, I got Duke, Mississippi State, LSU, Michigan State, Virginia, Oregon, Villanova, Tennessee. Wally Wild, speak on it.
Who do you have? Or how far do you have Duke in the Sweet 16? You have UVA getting knocked out. When? By who?
No, I don't have UVA getting knocked out right now at all. They're in a Sweet 16.
I thought you said Sweet 16. I thought you said they're going to get knocked out. Or okay. I like Maryland. I don't care for Maryland, actually. They're going to probably get past the first round, though. I like Duke going far, obviously. I think Duke's the best team in the country, talent-wise.
Talent-wise, yes, but they're not the best team in the country. They luckily got a one-point victory against North Carolina. That's all I'm saying. North Carolina got their number.
I have no team to root for, like as a fan in this thing. But I will say this: if I was a Duke fan, I would say, you know, they can say the argument to say like that they say when Zion plays that they can beat anybody. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like no one, you know, that's what they could say. But when you look at some of the other teams I mentioned before, like Nova, because of pedigree, I think Nova's going far in the Sweet 16. I like Jay Wright. I mean, Jay Wright's one of my favorite coaches. I think he's one of the best coaches in college basketball, period. And you look at the Kansas State, though, I got Kansas State going far. I mean, I got them past going to the Sweet 16, Mike. I ain't going to lie. Let them be eliminated early, I don't see that. Bobby Huggins is too much of a G. You mentioned Cincinnati. Bobby Huggins.
I like Kansas State. I like UC Irvine. Like, you ever watch a team play that's just exciting to watch play? UC Irvine's exciting to watch play. I only play like two games, though. I ain't going to say anything. I watch them play all year. But the two games is like,
he was having fun. No, I'm with you. You know, when you punch a team like that in the face, you throw them a couple bows, they don't run the thing. And Bobby Hurd's boys, they,
it's over. Yeah, I like Bobby Hurd's
man. But, you know what I mean? They do a different brand. I mean, they played against Kansas, who usually runs. So they use their custom of playing running teams. But something about Bobby Huggins, I don't doubt. I did it before. I used to doubt him in the postseason. But Bobby Huggins, he got his guys playing so tough, and a lot of teams aren't accustomed to playing against that type of physical basketball that Bobby Huggins brings to the table. You mentioned Cincinnati. I mean, obviously he's the one who brought that. You know, he put the blueprint that Cincinnati when he was over there. But he did the same thing in West Virginia. So I'm sorry, not West Virginia. No, it's Bobby Huggins. I'm wrong. It's Bobby Huggins. Bobby Huggins is in West Virginia, right?
Bobby Huggins is West Virginia now. Yeah, he used to be Cincinnati.
You know what? I take my argument away. I'm thinking about the angry dude. He ain't there no more either. Oh, you know what? Kansas is good. Kansas State can lose. Let me take my argument away. I got to change my bracket, too. You just reminded me. I got to change my bracket all over.
I'm going to move down to the West. I'm just going to say like this. What I got right now, and I'm going to say it real fast. I got Gonzaga in the first round. I got Syracuse. I want Baylor to win. It's just I can't go against Jim Boeheim in the first round. I just can't. I want a Robert Murray State. I really, really, really do.
I'm riding with them. No, Marquette, I'm a big team. U2, so I watch Marquette. Yeah. I'm a big U2. I watch Marquette. They're not playing the best basketball right now. And
they're
that
not?
Dude,
okay.
I mean, that boy.
Oh, Murray.
That boy. Whew, that boy.
He's a lottery pick.
Damn,
he's a lottery pick.
He's top three pick. He's top three pick. Not just lottery, he's top three pick.
So,
boy,
I'm
got no athletes to mess with him.
Give me Murray State in that one, all right? And then I got Florida State beating Vermont. I got St. Joe's University beating Arizona State University and then going on. First of all, let me just say this. I hate the fact that these play-in games are other seeds other than 16 seeds. I think it's stupid.
I think it's
stupid to be an 11th seed to have to play a play-in. That makes no sense. Just make them a 16 seed.
I agree.
Okay? So I'm going to go St.
Better off, not 11. Do with a 13 seed or something.
Yeah, something.
But not 11.
No,
that's
not
fair.
Yeah, right.
That's not fair.
Not fair. So I got St. Joe's winning that against Arizona State, and St. Joe's also beating Buffalo, which Buffalo's a good squad as well. Texas Tech over Northern Kentucky. All thing I know about Northern Kentucky is that was in the movie Glory Road, right? That was Northern Kentucky, right? Yeah. Give me Florida over Nevada, and give me Michigan over Montana. Moving on to the other side, I got North Carolina easily beating Iona. I got Utah State beating Washington in a tough 8-9 matchup. I like Auburn. Give me Auburn over New Mexico State. Give me Kansas over Northeastern. Give me Iowa State over Ohio State. More than likely, guys, that's just the fact I hate Ohio State. Give me Houston over Georgia State. And give me Seton Hall over Wofford. Give me Kentucky over Albany Christian Academy. Then I got Kentucky beating Seton Hall. Houston beating Iowa State, Auburn beating Kansas, and North Carolina beating Utah State. So I have then I got Gonzaga beating Syracuse, Murray State moving on beating Florida State. Then I got Texas Tech beating St. John. St. John's University runs out of steam, and the mini games had to play that weekend or this week. They give me Michigan over Florida. So then my Sweet 16, I have Texas Tech, Michigan, Gonzaga, Murray State, North Carolina, Auburn, Houston, Kentucky, and y'all heard the other eight up another bracket. I'll give you my final four coming up later today. 347-637-3859. So, boxer, pound for pound. What's up? Your boy did his thing, man. Earl?
Yeah, he's on different level. Yeah.
Did his thing.
Different level.
It was just that simple.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It looked a lot easier than I thought it was going to be.
No, it was too easy. I didn't think it was going to be that easy. I kind of like both of these dudes. That's why I was so torn. Like, I rooted, as truth be told, I kind of rooted for Mikey a little bit because Mikey, and I say this statement all the time on social media, even on our show, like, Mikey isn't scared to be great. Like, he has no fear to be great. That's why I respect that in the boxing game when people use excuses and say, like, oh, my promoter ain't allowing me or the money ain't right or this, that, and the other. Mikey's just there. Like, Mikey's, I'm about to take this dude on. Mikey went up two classes to fight Earl Spence. Now the dude is just big and strong, but the dude is on the pound-for-pound list. You know what I'm saying? He took that dude on. And Mikey, and I was at Dave and Buster's watching the fight, and I remember this guy beside me was like, Earl, knock him out. Earl, knock him out. He's done. Man, going to the box with him, knock him out. I'm like, yo, Mikey is a different dude, bro. Mikey won't get knocked out because Mikey got heart. What you saw there was a guy who was getting his tail whipped, but was like, I ain't going down. I ain't going to show no weakness. Mikey was getting hit with body blows, getting Mm-hmm. He was getting hit with connection. I mean, like combos, jabs, and they were good, powerful punches. And Mikey didn't stumble. Mikey didn't stagger. Mikey just took it. And that's my thing. Like, people, I mean, you're going to go in and say, like, after watching the fight, you're going to come up with the conclusion that, like, that Earl, pound for pound, like, is pound for pound one of the best. To me, he's pound for pound the best. But if, on the flip side, if you don't acknowledge Mikey's toughness and still don't see him as an elite boxer, then you a damn fool. Because that kid showed you everything.
Losing to, one of the best fighters in the world is no nothing to shy away from. And at one point, I'm looking at the punches landed count. It was like 269 to 57.
It was so bad. The workload.
It was such a load. And I mean, he's hitting them with body blows, combos, one, two.
Combos.
So, you know, doing that. What we seen Earl Spence do? Jab to the body, right hook to or left jab to the body, right hook to the body upstairs. And you've seen it. Pop, boom. And you've seen it. And I'm watching this guy. And every once have I not liked Earl Spence. He's just, I'm a butt guy. I'm watching this fight, and I'm just like, damn, I knew he was good. I knew he was good. But you opened my eyes about a year and a half, 2 years ago to Mikey Garcia. So I watch him. When people like you are respecting that no boxing, say somebody's name, I look at him. I look and I watch Mikey's fights. I went back, seen some fights on YouTube. Mikey's heart, it's matched by only someone like a Cotto, like where he just sat there and just took it. And like you said, his face wasn't busted open too bad. You know what I mean? He took it and he kept coming. Even in them rounds where I thought he kind of got, I thought maybe it was at the eighth round. I thought Mikey probably won that round. They didn't give it to him.
I thought Mikey won. I didn't give him the eighth round, though. The one round I did give Mikey was round two. Everybody gave it to Earl. I thought Mikey had round two. But he was throwing some effective punches in round two. So I gave that one. But I see why folks would give, Earl that round. I mean, I thought Mikey just was barely missing. He had some opportunities. He was barely missing. But, when you're going against a guy who's that strong, that skilled, you know what I mean, and you're moving up two classes, I mean, what do you really expect from him? Because even when I was doing my predictions, I was like, I think Earl's going to win the fight. But I thought Mikey would put a little bit more friction into it. That didn't happen. But I knew Mikey wasn't going to get knocked out. Like, that was my thing. Like, folks was like, he's going to get knocked out. I was like, if you watch this boy, he ain't getting knocked out. He ain't built that way. He built thoroughbred tough. Like, he built a different way.
He is completely built a different way. And watching this fight, did it change your mind or solidify him as being the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world? And a little bit, before you answer that question, I got lost also in the post-fight and stuff because I thought it was already scheduled for Manny to fight Bud Crawford.
What happened? Manny can't – Manny's not fighting Bud. Manny – well, you already know the business, man. Al Heyman, Bob Arum ain't going to make no fight great. You know what I'm saying? He ain't going to make boxing great no more, man. Al Heyman, Bob Arum, what he's doing, you know what I'm saying, basically ruining Wilder, Tyson Fury, you know what I mean, stuff like that. Like, Bob Arum isn't about that, man. So he's not going to work with Al Heyman. He's not going to work with Al Heyman. He's just not going to do it. So him being Bud being with Bob Arum, Al Heyman, Spence being with Al Heyman, PBC, that fight ain't going to happen. It should happen, but it's not going to happen anytime soon. So, and Manny got hip to what Bob Arum was doing to him. So Manny went to PBC. He got hip.
He left Top Rank. Okay, that's why I got
him.
He was just on Top Rank.
He PBC. Okay. He
PBC with
Al Heyman.
After that last fight.
And everybody – yeah, everybody, see, this is the thing. And everybody, this is when I'm going to give Floyd credit. Like, Floyd told Manny that Bob Arum is raping him. Like, Floyd told him this. That's, you know what I'm saying? And that's why everybody was like, well, Manny's dodging. But Manny don't dodge. Is that Manny already know that he ain't going to be no sacrificial lamb to nobody. To a point where after them couple of losses, he was like, yo, Floyd kept him hip. He was like, hey, you need to leave. Like, you need to leave. And he got hip to him. And now he's going to another side.
Omaha World Herald in Omaha, Nebraska, the magazine or the newspaper that covers Bud Crawford,
yeah.
or in Nebraska, where he's from. Bud Crawford promoter admits he killed the Manny Pacquiao fight because it would only end in one way. So, of course, he would say that.
That's not money.
That,
that's bad.
That he left.
That's
right, but I said that though. Remember we had that funny talk on air, and I was like, "Yeah, he would knock Manny out." And he was like, "Ain't nobody knocking Manny out, right?" So then, well, you know, so that we never know now. So it does look like it does appear that he will be fighting Amir Khan. That's the fight they're pushing for.
He's fighting Amir Khan, and I like that.
It is
official. He's fighting Amir Khan
in April.
Yeah, he's fighting
April.
Amir Khan.
Oh,
that's what I like. What I like about that's the thing. Like, this is my thing. Like Bud needs. Like, what I like about – we can talk about Bud. Bud needs, like – he don't have to be pound for – like a dude that's pound for pound great right now. But what Bud needs for his exposure is that he needs to fight a name that he can put that body bag on. You know what I'm saying? He needs to fight that name so he can be projected as a pay-per-view dude. Because right now, like, his numbers aren't pay-per-view. The skill is there, but the numbers aren't pay-per-view because he hasn't fought – like a guy that everybody was like, okay, that guy. And that was Manny was supposed to be for Bud. Like, Manny was supposed to be that for Bud, right? Like, people were like, Manny was supposed to be that for Bud.
Right.
But see, Bob Arum messing up the church's money, you know what I'm saying? And Manny got hip because, again, Floyd got him hip. Like, Floyd got him hip. So that ain't work out. And then there is nobody on Bob Arum's side that can uplift Bud Crawford. Look at the boxers that Bob Arum has. Nobody. PBC got everybody. You know what I'm saying? So people are like, so now Al Haymon can say, you know what, Manny, I want you to fight. Ben.
That's the problem,
you know,
with boxing. Like, boxing is an organization. But unlike the NFL, even UFC has one governing body. Boxing has a million governing bodies. And that's what we
promoter.
Have. Four different
it's
titles
like,
in every
promoter.
Week. It's the promoters, like you're saying, afraid to lose
it's
their
the
money ticket.
Yeah.
There's no – when the PBC came together, that was supposed to be better for boxing in general. And the fact now that only certain are signing where they're signing, you have Tyson Fury signing with DZN. You have Saul Canelo Alvarez signing with DZN. You have Triple G did an exclusive with –
No, what's that? No, Tyson signed with Tyson
– I'm sorry.
You know what, DZN? He's a Bob.
With
Bob
ESPN,
Man.
Right?
Yeah. That's what screwed the Wilder fight. That's what screwed that fight up now.
The part two of that fight, right? The rematch, right? And so tomorrow, we're going to find out where does one like Deontay Wilder go? Who will he sign with? What's going to happen? I personally think even Tyson Fury, and I'm not the biggest Fury fan. I respect what he happened in that fight. Before then, I underestimated him. And everybody knows how I feel about Deontay Wilder. I think it's a fool's gold contract. $100 million? You make 80 in a pay-per-view fight. So why would I sign $100 million?
Tyson?
Yeah, $100 million. Because remember, Tyson came out and made fun of Wilder. Wilder said, are you a fool? He's trying to get $70 to $60 million for one fight against Anthony Joshua. But you want me to give you all my fights for $100 million? I don't understand that.
So let's just
in the language. They get some portion of the gate. From what it looks like, here you go, $100 million. All your fights are going to be featured on this network. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah. It's just like it's just a shame. But see, PBC is so awesome that, again, it's unfortunate. Like, you know, Bud Crawford got to get out that contract. He got out that contract to get the PBC. You got to stop being loyal to Bob. But he got to get out that contract. Because you get out that contract, you get the PBC, he with everybody. Like, everybody. You know what I mean? Everybody's with PBC. Thurman, Spence, Manny, you know what I'm saying? Floyd works with Al Haymon, so Floyd will be on PBC stuff. So you know what I'm saying? And you know Floyd ain't going to never work with Bob Arum.
Never.
So it's like you already got
let's just take another $200 from a fight.
Exactly. You're good. You're good with Al Haymon. So Al Haymon's cool. Like, his situation's cool. His boxers are being treated correctly. Al Haymon's straight. It's Bob Arum. I don't have an issue with Al Haymon. Because Al Haymon, all them dogs, all them dudes we talking about are with Al Haymon. The only two dogs that Bob Arum got is Lomachenko and Bud Crawford. If you want to call Tyson Fury, go ahead, throw Tyson Fury in the mesh. But those are the only two dogs that everybody would be like, okay, they pound for pound, probably one on the top five list of boxers in the game.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Boxing is starting to be where we thought it could be when we said boxing was not dead and UFC needs to watch out. And PBC, we're fans of it. They've done great things in boxing.
I'm a fan.
They've been Since we first seen it, we were like, yo, this is where boxing's supposed to be, and they're giving you fights. Yeah. And so I just hope that somewhere in here, these fighters start getting smart, start getting hip, start knowing your history about what these promoters do, and take control of your own careers. I get that the promoters have all the ins and outs, and you know, I get you know having to dance with the promoter, but having to dance with the promoter doesn't mean that you have to go to bed with them. You know what I'm saying? Just because you're in the club, you have to go to dance in the club. She said, "Well, buy me a drink first." Well, damn it, I'm gonna find somebody who ain't gonna make me buy him a drink before I dance with him. What if he can't dance? Then I brought you a drink for nothing.
Yeah,
said,
but
that gets on my nerves. They buy me a drink. I'm gonna buy you a drink anyway, but not if you ask me to. I ain't gonna buy you.
I don't buy a chicken drink unless I know him. But on a flip side, when you talk about it's the truth though. I'm saying if I don't know you ain't getting it. You gotta have some thorough conversation with me at this particular time. And then that's it. But I ain't no.
Telling me,
I see you across the bar.
Are you telling me Laura London or Shanae Lathan walk into Jasper's and she's
that's
sitting there all fine?
Is this a real Shanae Lathan? Are we talking about the real Shanae Lathan? Then that's the whole
real one or lookalike.
I don't want no lookalike. No lookalike. It got to be Shanae. I don't want no lookalike. I want Shanae. I want Laura London, the real deal. I'm like, oh, that's Laura? I got her.
Not that girl
on
Instagram looks
anyway.
Like Laura London. You go, hold up. That's not new news.
I know who she is. I know exactly.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
I'm
like, yo, this is just like
I know exactly
not her,
who you're talking about. I know exactly who you're talking about.
The girl was telling me she had a baby by Lil Wayne. That's just me. When, once your girl had a baby by Lil Wayne, she became tainted.
I can't get mad, man. Most
Tony O'Neill, I got to go behind Shaq. Shaq's 7'4", 7'2". But ew, you on purpose had sex with Lil Wayne? It's like a little cockroach.
I'm just saying, look, how many chicks out here would have sex with Lil Wayne? Let's be really rich.
I get money. The money and success, you're doing that. But these chicks have success and they have money. So they slap a little way because somehow they found them sexually attractive. That's
Nunu,
nasty.
Nunu don't count because Nunu, what do you know about Laura? What do you know about Laura London? Oh, Laura London's only known by ATL, right? Was it ATL?
Yeah.
With T.I.?
Yeah, I know her from Entourage. Entourage. The game.
Shane's nothing as an actress. She's a great looking chick, though.
So Laura London's going for the team. What you saying?
All I'm telling you is that Laura London is like every chick.
She needs to secure that bag.
She needs to secure that bag.
All right, so Laura London, a.k.a. New, I'm letting you off the hook because you ain't had no good career that you didn't need the money.
Yeah.
So what's the Nalathan's fault? And then. I mean, not Lathan, wrong person. I'm sorry, wrong person. Wrong person. I just said wrong person. Because I think she has more class than that. Okay? Sorry, Shanae. What are you talking about, too? That other girl, I love
tweet
her.
Tweet there, Mike apologize. Tweet there, Vaughn.
Christina
Milian.
Christina Milian had a baby. Christina Milian had a baby with Lil Wayne. That's nasty.
Oh, she can sing, too.
And she looks good. And
she
can act
cute,
sometimes.
Too. She bad. She acts sometimes, but she's cute though. When did she have sex with her singing career with Jazz Suspect?
I mean, there you go, making excuses.
You know what I mean? Was she still hot in the street?
Probably still hot at that time. No. So you're saying she secured the bag as well? Oh, back to my 316.
Hey, look, man, look. All I'm saying is that chicks out here saying Rick Ross is cute. That's what I know is about money.
Right? That's what you said.
That's what I'm saying. Hey, give me that money. Give me that bag. You know what I'm saying? It was like, dang, Wally, you got that before that?
Wally,
it's crazy how these chicks are nowadays, man. These chicks are terrible.
Stop it.
They're lying
in
your face.
I need to
coach. I'm trying to have a relationship with my kids, and I can't do it. So I just don't want to believe the truth. You don't want to believe it.
At this point, we briefly pause the interview to give Kelly a moment.
Hilarious.
Is this a barbershop?
Oh, man.
I mean, we can't talk free in the barbershop. Then where can we talk free? We can't talk free nowhere else. You know, this ain't nothing but healthy conversation.
That's all. So, in my 16, Wally, I'm going to take Duke over Mississippi State. I'm going to take LSU over Michigan State. I liked what I saw.
Oh,
from LSU.
Yeah. LSU was good. They got situations going on now.
What happened? Tell me something
going on.
Like now. What happened? Hold on now.
LSU got the scandal, like the money. Like every college team.
On the tape, He got caught back. Hold on, I got to go all the way back. But you say Maryland ain't get out the first round against Belmont or
No, they will. I said they will. I said what they will. I just said that I don't know they're going to get past after that. Like, I don't think they're against the
season. After that is where, right, I had to win in that round. It was just them. Then they play LSU, and then I got LSU beating Yale. You tell me they're not going to beat Yale? LSU doesn't beat Yale?
LSU, they
can
beat Yale. Yeah,
they'll beat Yale.
That's first round. That's first round, right?
Right. No, that's first round is Yale. Second round would be Maryland.
They beat Maryland. Oh, yeah, Maryland's done.
All right.
But
Michigan State LSU might be a problem. I think LSU still wins it over Michigan State. I really do.
I'm going to tell you this. It's hard to doubt Izzo. That's all I'm going to say. It's hard to doubt Izzo.
I've learned that from you the last 2 years we've done radio together. I've learned that in my own life.
Don't think
because I talk a lot that I'm not listening. I listen. Okay? I like it because of you. I don't like Michigan State, you know what I'm saying? But I understand what he can do. But I'm still taking LSU. Give me LSU, Duke, and the Elite Eight. Okay? Then, enough, be Duke. Oh, no. In my Final Four. Okay? Taking Duke over LSU to go to the Final Four. I'm getting to it right now. I got Duke over LSU.
Gotcha.
All right. And my Sweet 16, I'm taking Virginia to lose to Oregon. Put it on the board.
Ooh, okay.
Number 12, Oregon beats Virginia. All right? Then I have Villanova is already in the Sweet 16 against Tennessee. I like Tennessee. Give me Tennessee over Villanova. All right. So then I take Tennessee over Oregon. And Tennessee goes to the final. So right now, my
bracket's
top half,
similar right now.
In my east and my south, I got Duke and Tennessee. And my bottom half, in my Sweet 16. You ready for this? All because I'm riding the train. Pause. Only she rides the train, but you get what I'm saying. Choo, choo. Give me Michigan State over Gonzaga. I said it. Murray State. My bad. I got all excited. I said the wrong damn name.
Murray State.
Did I do that? I don't know if I did that. Gonzaga plays so iffy to me. I'm with you on that one. Then Michigan over Texas Tech. Then
I like that too.
I got Michigan beating Murray State to
agree.
Go to the final.
I like that too. I
got North Carolina beating Auburn. Here's my whole caveat with my North Carolina. This is not being a fan picking. Yes, every year I pick North Carolina and go to the Final Four. Not every year, but pretty much.
You do every year. Don't you have me win? Yeah, almost every year.
Okay.
Every year.
I knew I did. All right. But here's my thing with them. North Carolina can play ball when they're motivated. Like, I've never seen a team that can, like, they should have blown Duke out with Zion. And they just got lackadaisical. And whatever happened, and it just changed the fortunes of the game. And no matter how much I dislike the University of Duke, okay, Zion is a beast, and I think Zion's a one-in-a-lifetime opportunity in the NBA. He will be the number one pick in the draft. He's amazing. Four Tar Heels could not box out one man, and that pissed me off. And I think that pissed off Coach, okay? And Coach, you see when he gets angry, he might have a vertical attack, okay? And so they don't want that. Give me North Carolina over Auburn, 1-5. And I like Auburn. I don't like this bracket for North Carolina. Here's why. Kentucky will beat Houston. The only way I feel safe in my mind picking North Carolina to go to Final Fours is somehow Houston upsets Kentucky. Now, for my fan pick, if you're listening, my Final Four has North Carolina. And a pick where I got to pick with money, and since they're tournament brackets, you can pick like 50 of them, and there's different people now like Fox, Yahoo, and this new one I just came across is like number one on Twitter right now called Quick Bracket Challenge, QLIK Bracket Challenge. They're giving out $100,000 to for free. Yeah. So in those, I might have to switch it somewhere and put Kentucky. But in my heart of hearts right now, my Final Four has one Duke versus two Michigan. That's a great blue blood matchup on the other side. Tennessee versus North Carolina on the other side. And I had this, I think, 2 years ago in the bracket, not last year. I'm going to do it again. Your championship game will be the highest-ranked television national championship game of all time. because for the first time ever, playing for the fourth time in one season, Duke will play North Carolina for the national title. And North Carolina will win this game of a score of 84-78. North Carolina tears the bracket down.
Very
now.
Similar.
There's
my very, our brackets are very similar, but I had Duke winning.
Of course.
Yeah, very similar.
I only have
Duke
winning.
I don't care for Duke.
I only have Duke winning.
Duke. I'm not Duke
I only have Duke winning in a poll that I won't say on air. Shh. You didn't hear that from me.
Yeah, I have it like – no, I have it very – we're very similar. I think other than I have Virginia going a little bit farther, but our Final Fours are exactly the same. Our national championship game is exactly the same. I have it like 85-80. I think it'll be a high-scoring game, though. I think it'll be very – I think it'll be really close. I think it'll be really close. I mean, it's hard to beat a team three times in the season. I think Carolina beat Duke twice to one.
Should have beat them.
No, that's hard.
Should have.
Should be the third time. Yeah, it should have been. If Roy called that timeout, right?
Yeah. Or then it just boxed the hell out.
I totally agree, bro. I'm just
that boxed out pissed me off, Wally. Like, how you can't box out?
He's a hard dude to box out.
Four people.
Look, in the NBA, he's gonna have a problem. And with his college kids, it's totally different. In the NBA, he's gonna have a problem doing that. In college kids.
Because right there, you're saying something. As I believe we got a 310 calling in. Give me 1 second. Zion scares me because I think I'm gonna say it again. Like Deontay Wilder, who I'm a fan of, I think that he should get a trainer that shows him how to defend better. I think if he defends his chin better, he is the best fighter in the heavyweight division. But sometimes he doesn't protect himself at all times. And the referees say, protect himself at all times. And sometimes I wish Deontay protected himself more. But he trusts his right hand more. So who am I? It's worked for him thus far. Okay? But Zion, someone should teach him, coach him. He doesn't have to jump so high for every single play. And sometimes when he jumps, it's like watching – conserve it and save yourself. It's like telling a quarterback to slide or run out of bounds before trying to take a big hit. It's like when you're watching the Sixers play. You watched the game last night with Embiid. You watched the game, the Sixers and the Bucks game?
Nah, I saw Cliff, though.
Every game, he falls somewhere clumsily. You know, and that's why Westbrook has an issue with him. Yesterday, on a fast break, Jonathan's coming down the court. J.J. Redick grabs him, clearly holding him for the foul. This dude comes out of nowhere, flies over top of all of them, crash right into the back of the board. And you can see the pissosity that is on J.J. Redick's face. And you can see Embiid knew that he messed up, looks up through his eyes like as they're sitting down on the ground. He looks like, oh, did I do that? Did I? Yes, dude. And that's Zion. Somebody please. I like the kid. I don't want to see him in a Knicks uniform. I don't want to see him in a Lakers uniform. But I need to see him on the East Coast. I don't want to see him in a conference team. I don't want to see him in a Western conference team.
He could be on a Knicks uniform. He won't be in the Lakers, though. He'll probably be
Knicks
or
Bulls.
Or Chicago Bulls uniform.
Knicks or Bulls.
Bulls.
Right. If the NBA is what I think the NBA is, he will be a Knick or a Bulls. That's what I know.
Or the Suns,
yeah. I don't think so.
Or Cleveland.
Knicks, Bulls, or Cleveland, Zion will be a part of next year. Those are my three teams. Tweet it out. I don't care. 310, you are on. My bracket is set. North Carolina versus Duke. Bang, bang. Who's on here? Is this you, Tom?
It's Tom. How you doing, guys?
I know it's Tom. What's going on?
I'm doing good. If the Cleveland Cavaliers win the lottery again, I hope that doesn't happen.
Hey,
they're not deserving
it. We know it,
talk about a franchise that would just be like, that is the definition of falling ass backwards into like a series of, and I bet that the weird thing is at the bottom of the lottery, you have a bunch of teams who are big markets that I would love to see Zion in. And then you have these other, like, I hope and pray he doesn't go to Memphis or Cleveland. Like,
let's be real. We only watch the Golden State and the Lakers because they're LeBron. No one's staying out watching West Coast teams over here. They're not.
Here's why I'm really interested for Zion to go to the Knicks, because like I feel like as an NBA fan who's really like been conscious of the NBA since maybe like 1991 or 92. I don't really remember. I mean, I don't remember watching live games prior to that. You know, you always used to see these cool things where, like, the Lakers would get Magic Johnson when they already had Kareem, or, like, they'd get Worthy when they already had Magic, or they are, you know, like, what I think would be really cool about Zion going to the Knicks is, like, I just can't remember the last time that a number one pick in the NBA.
Hey, KD and Kyrie
Irving. But Kyrie Irving was 3 years, 4 years into the league. Like, he was on a garbage team for a while.
I'm saying they're all going to New York some way. But I think Kyrie shocks everybody, and he goes to Brooklyn. That's just me. Don't underestimate what I'm hearing out of the New York area. Everybody thinks New York's the destination. It is. It's just not the Knicks. It's the same thing as going
you
with that whole
Brooklyn?
LA. It's Lakers or Clippers. The Brooklyn Knicks have a lot of money, and they're ready to spend. Jay-Z didn't start off with that franchise, but I just want people to keep that in mind. Like, what if Kyrie ends up in Brooklyn? Let me ask you this, Tom. Would you trade Zion straight up for Anthony Davis?
It depends on my team. What's my team? Who's on my team?
You're the Knicks. You get, let's say, hypothetically, that's what everybody's saying. They get Kevin Durant, and they get Kyrie Irving. But they get the number one pick. Are you trading Zion with that team for Anthony Davis? Or are you keeping Zion? I personally would keep Zion because when those other guys leave, at least you got Zion to work on later.
I got to be honest. I think that, like, that is the one scenario that would – that's probably one of the toughest decisions to make as a GM. I don't really think you can go wrong because I think Anthony Davis, is incredible.
Right.
Zion –
yeah, hopes.
I think you have, unless you literally think Zion showing up and becoming Anthony Davis in his first year and in his first 3 years, and so you're basically getting Anthony Davis for what would be $7 or $8 million a year. I think that there's an argument for both sides, right? I think Davis is without a doubt, no matter how good Zion is when he comes into the league, he's not going to be as good as Davis is the next 3 years. Davis is still 25 years old. But I think there is something to be said is can Zion be 85% of Anthony Davis at 33% of the contract, which allows you to bring in another guy? That, to me, that decision is really, really difficult. As a Lakers fan, I hope they don't get to make that decision. But I could definitely see that happening. The reason I can't see Kyrie going to Brooklyn is that you would literally create the worst defensive backcourt in the NBA. Now, they could outscore anyone.
It's just the NBA,
but, like,
right? They don't play defensive.
That would be the definition of a turnstile backcourt. So, like, I mean, I don't see – why would – Kyrie seems to be an offbeat guy, but, like, if he goes to Brooklyn, like, why? You're not going to be like, I mean, if you have a chance to go to the Knicks with Durant, and it's going to be a top four pick. Like, I don't love this draft after Zion.
This draft has a good 15 to 20 players in it. Now, franchise changing players, I think about three or four. Because I think with RJ Barrett. Is why I've always said I thought Zion was better than Barrett at this level. I've seen R.J. Barrett. You're going to get R.J. Barrett in your life that come in the NBA. They're good, solid players. Good players, better than some of the other players out there. Zion, to me, what he does defensively, already locked in, and offensively, with that drop step I haven't seen him like since like Shaq, so much power, I think he's a once-in-a-lifetime talent. I've seen him when he was in junior high school jumping out of the gym, and he's still doing the same thing now.
To me, Zion is a franchise-altering player, the kind of guy that comes along maybe once every 7 or 8 to 10 years. I think the rest of these guys are kind of like Rudy Gay 1 through 10, to be honest.
Why?
Like, I like R.J. Barrett. I like R.J. Barrett. I don't think he's bad. It's just, like, I don't think there's a distinct advantage in this draft to having pick 2 versus having pick 9. And so, like, that's why I say, you know, for the sake of the Knicks, honestly, I do hope the Knicks fans get something. I actually hope they get the first overall pick because the Knicks fans are great fans, and they do deserve something. So, like, I will say – but, of course, the year that they finally choose to tank is the first year the NBA makes the same odds for having the first or the fourth worst record in the NBA. So, like, they only have what, a 12% chance, 15?
It's going to be very, very interesting, Tom. And thanks for the call. I got to move on to the NFL and what's happening here locally in D.C. and the Virginia area locally with the Washington Redskins and so forth. But I do thank you. Stick around if you want to add something to that. 347-637-3859. We talked a lot of stuff today. Look, my Final Four, I picked a winner. And don't you diss me this time, Wally. I picked a winner this time. I'm going to win $1 million. If I win $1 million, brother, you know you get some, right? You know that. Right? We all going to have a job. We all going to have a job, bro. And we're going to eat some wings after we come back from Brazil. Okay? Shh. My wife's going to go, where you going to go? We going to Brazil.
I'm about to say, right? You saying Brazil? You
said
Brazil? You're
like, what? So the NFL is free agency time. It's been happening. And we've seen my Philadelphia Eagles. I begged for two things this offseason. I kept saying all year long, Wally, they need to sign Graham back. I kept saying that, right? I said franchise him, do something.
Yeah.
Had to bring him back. They brought him back on a 3-year deal. I also thought that when they traded for Ronald Darby, he would stay. I knew the contract situation, but he got hurt. Happy to say they signed him for a good 1-year deal. They make a trade to bring DeSean Jackson back to town and then re-sign him to a 3-year deal. DeSean Jackson gives the hoopla that I'm a different man. I'm more mature now. I was a kid when I was here before. I want to retire a Philadelphia Eagle, and that's what he should say. Also, the Philadelphia Eagles today signed. Now, you can help me out with this one. Longtime safety for the Minnesota Vikings, Mr. Andrew Sadijo. Did I say that name right?
Oh, Sadejo.
Yes. They signed him today for a 1-year deal. What do you think about that deal for the rival Philadelphia Eagles?
He's
never
solid.
Missed a game.
I mean, I like Sadejo.
3 years he played in Minnesota. He started every game. Here's a guy on that great defense that we didn't hear all the time. While can you enlighten us a little bit why we didn't hear his name all the time in that defense? Because safeties are important.
He was a hard worker. He was a hard worker. He wasn't like flashy like Smith, but he played his role. He's a good safety, but he's not, when you look at the elite, he's not an elite, but he's really good and he plays his role. I mean, all you want a guy is to be in position. He's always in position. I mean, he does his job. He plays in the box. So, I mean, that's a good signing. I mean, if again, the coaching staff is good enough, the Eagles do have a good coaching staff. They have a good front seven. So he should play well under that system. That's a good signing. I mean, D-Jax going to Philadelphia is a good signing, too. It's a great signing because it allows a lot of – he
also signed Malik Jackson.
Who?
Malik Jackson, defensive tackle from the Jacksonville Jaguars.
From Jaguars.
Right.
I mean, I don't really – I mean, you guys are –
I thought that was a good pick because I now think we have the greatest defensive line in football this year. And I said we had it last year, arguably
you
say the Rams.
You said every year. You said every year, though.
I didn't say it. No. I said we had a good line. If I asked you, I think we had the best line. I'm going to say it again this year. We have the best line in the NFL.
I know you say that every year. That's what I'm saying.
I don't say it every year.
You do say it every year.
I say one of the best. There's a difference between saying the best and the best. I'm a mark, right? One of the best. We're not just one of the best. We are the best. Come on. You got Graham on one side.
The Rams still got two.
He's a free agent. Yes, he is. NFL.com is not valid. Okay. And Dominican is a free agent. If you click on him, it says top 100 free agents, right? He's listed I can't believe number four on the list was Nick Foles, the number four free agent on the market. That blew my load. I love him as an Eagle fan. He bought me a Super Bowl I thought I would never have. He stepped up and gave me hope again when my quarterback got hurt. But in the words of CeCe, he's an average quarterback.
Hey.
And everything's about system, y'all. Things
it's
are about system.
Is Jacksonville? I thought I heard that they're bringing in the offensive.
They did
the quarterback
bring
in coach
from Minnesota. They did.
I think it'll work. It'll work over there.
I think it'll work.
Yeah. He failed with Kirk Cousins, but Kirk Cousins was average. But it'll work. It'll work.
So Landon Collins.
But no, I like.
Landon Collins lands is with you, right? And Washington. Other big deals for week four. Yeah. I move on. I'm going to talk about the Reds. Real heavy, real hair. My bad. Fitzmagic in Miami. Steelers sign linebacker Mark Barron. They steal him from the Rams. Packers make a big
good one.
Packers, I think, did really good after everybody said they were sitting on their hands and picking up the three high priced defenders from the Bears, the Ravens, and hell, even our Washington Reds. Like, yeah. I think that was huge in what they did. Now, what they do to help out Aaron Rodgers? Now, that's a different question. And then, of course, the best move so far in free agency has to be the Cleveland Browns making the trade to bring Odell Beckham to the Cleveland Browns. I know one thing. I know about real life, but on Madden, I'm playing with the Cleveland Browns next year.
You're gonna be like, man, it'll be like that, man. They're gonna be like that. They're gonna be like that. That's amazing. That's gonna be an amazing team.
But do me I like to show good. Tomorrow. What do we do in Washington now? You sign Adrian Peterson back, but then Geis will be back next year. Is that going to be a 1-2 punch? Is this Adrian Peterson's team? He showed enough that he should be the starting back over the pretty much rookie coming back again next year. Talk about the Redskins and the move they made. How do you like them?
I like the move to get re-signed to AP. I think Geis, knowing that he tore his ACL, and anybody who's ever had an ACL injury knows that, you know, being a Philadelphia Eagle fan, that first year coming back, you're not truly yourself. It usually takes you that second year to be yourself. So you have Adrian Peterson to start the season off and, you know, let him take, you know, not take the load, but kind of share carries with Geis and Chris Thompson. So by the time maybe towards the middle part of the season, maybe towards the, you know, that last quarter of the season, you know, you showcase Geis. But I like the signing. I think you got to look at it like, all right, Geis just came off an ACL injury. Everybody's not the original Adrian Peterson. Like, you don't come back from an ACL injury and, like, you tear the league up. It's rare. It's very rare. So sure. I think AP starting the season is good. And then, you know, just gradually have right come in, gradually. And if he can handle it, then you kind of try to phase out AP. But I think AP deserves to be showcased after what he did last year.
Now, definitely bringing over Landon Collins,
to go with
Josh Norman. I think that when I saw that, okay, and again, I don't hate the Redskins as I did growing up as a kid, being that working with the organization and being close to the team. I actually like the ownership and the players that are there. So I just part of me, believe it or not, actually likes the Redskins. When I saw this move made, I said, damn. And I know I trolled you a little bit on Twitter. I was just trolling when I was like, really? Do you like? You know what I'm saying? But, damn, next to Newman, Josh Norman, and this defense already last year, people always seem to step up. Talk about it.
Yeah, I like Landon Collins. I think, you know, people call him a box safety. He can do more than just being a box safety, but he's probably primarily, if you want to categorize him, he would be more of a box safety. But he's a guy who can cover at times. He can't cover in thorough space. Like, for example, he can't cover deep middle. You know what I'm saying? Like, D-Jax is going on that seam and going straight up, that's not Landon Collins' strength. But if you're talking about intermediate slot stuff, he can handle himself a little bit, though. He can handle himself okay, but I love it. He's a playmaker. I mean, he's a three-time Pro Bowler. He's only 25. He's been an All-Pro, first-team All-Pro. So he's very young, and he's already accomplished a lot. So I like the signing of Landon Collins. This team has been desperate for great safety play for a while. DJ played well last season. He tailed off towards the end, and also he started mouthing off, so the team, you know, released him. But this is a fit in terms of playing that safety position. It's younger, you know what I mean, which is very important. And also have chemistry because he's with his Bama boys, you know what I mean. The team's going to have Reuben Foster probably, you know, if he does get suspended or not, they'll have Reuben Foster. They'll have Sean Deion Hamilton out of Alabama, Deron Payne out of Alabama. They'll have Jonathan Allen out of Alabama, Ryan Anderson out of Alabama. So this defense will be constructed with mostly Alabama dudes.
Right, it is,
you know,
and I like that. I have nothing against that because
there's a
lot of Alabama boys on that damn team.
Yeah. And I'm gonna say this as a guy who's watched this team for years. You know, Joe Gibbs liked getting folks from the U when he got Sean Taylor, Santana Moss, Clinton Portis. He liked getting folks. He said this. You know, why not have going to an entity that was successful in college that knew how to win? And I like how this team, this regime is doing it. By going after guys who won in college, who had a winning pedigree. You know what I mean? Like, something about teaching kids to be winners, you know what I mean, when you already been winners, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. even in the collegiate game, and you did it together, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's just a lot. Like, if you win together, and then you bring that in as grown men, you know, you feel that bond. That bond gets even stronger. So I like them going for Bama, guys. I mean, they still have to build the team. They got to find, you know, reports are they're trying to get a playmaking wide receiver. We'll see how that works out. They're willing to do that via trade. There's rumors they would go after A.J. Green. Even Stephon Diggs is a rumor, but that's not real. That's not real. But, A.J. Green is a rumor. So this team's trying to make moves for their, you know, for their positioning. I'm still on the table. The word is they're going to maybe try to get Josh Rosen out of Arizona, but we'll see how that pans out. And they just signed Eric Flowers to be their backup tackle. They just signed that within 10 minutes.
Wow. And that's the Redskins right now. It's just still making a move. So yeah. On paper, that's all we basically go a lot of things off of.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the team?
On paper, quarterback's still an issue for me. I think on paper right now.
You don't like the move at quarterback bringing over one Case Keenum?
Nah, I like the deal. I like the deal. I don't like the quarterback. I get the deal. You know what I mean? If you're getting a starting quality quarterback for 3.8 for 1 year, knowing that you've been handcuffed because, you know, Alex may not play this season. He has, you know, a nice cap number and, you know, you got Colt. So you can't really bring in a high-priced quarterback. You know what I mean?
Right.
You got to still fix everything else around him. So if you're looking at – if I'm looking at it that way, I look at it like, all right, I'm not a fan of the quarterback position. But, you know, if I look at it, 7-9, 9-7 is fair. I mean, same thing. I don't think that unless somebody overachieves – you know, Jay overachieves, you know, I don't see anything different. But I do think the defense is going to ball out. They still got to, you know, they still got to find, in my opinion, find somebody at the free safety position. I don't want to hear, you know, DRC, that's Dominique Rogers-Cromartie playing, who the skin side,
yeah,
to play free safety. I don't want to hear that. You know, I think they need to get a free safety to play free safety. Don't have a cornerback play free safety. Everybody's not Charles Woodson. Everybody's not Rod Woodson. You know, people get fixated and say a cornerback can play safety. Nah, not everybody's built that way.
Well, I'm looking forward to the year, to be honest with you, in football, as we do every year, and what's going to happen there. And free agency is still going on. There's a lot of good players still out there. I know some players that I'm looking for my Eagles to bring back, whether they're going to bring back Jay Ajayi, what they're going to do in the draft, and things like that on those lines. But real fast, today's road to WrestleMania stops by the WWE Raw. Kurt Angle will tell you what his WrestleMania moment will be. We're going to get the Warrior Award winner. You go back, listen to my last Around the Blocks with Mike Knox. I stand corrected, guys. Kofi Kingston will go to WrestleMania. I'm saying it right now.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, but here's
the
reason why.
I heard you.
Here's the reason why.
I saw it. Mm-hmm.
The WWE title is not the number one title anymore. It's the Universal
title. Yeah, you said that.
So, but yeah, put things in perspective that way. But there's Vince care. It's my second title, damn it. So tune in tomorrow for my Around the Block to Mike Knox on that. And before we get out of here, we got to give you what you're going to do best anyway, and that's the best and worst of the weekend. Best and worst of the weekend, Wally.
Best of the weekend would have to be obviously that fight. I'm watching great boxing in terms of Errol Spence. You know, seeing Errol Spence fight Mikey Garcia. Errol Spence showing a boxing performance, not just like a brawler, but an epic boxing performance. All props to Errol Spence Jr. I guess the worst of the weekend. Who would have to be the worst of the weekend? I'm trying to think about this. Actually, I ain't had that many bad things this weekend. I can't even call it.
Great.
No,
that
I take it back. My homie, his kid was in a playoff game.
Okay.
He missed like one of the key free throws, and to see his kid, you know, those kids crying and whatnot. Even though you see the happiness too at the same time, but the kids crying. Yes, yeah, probably worth the weekend.
All right, I like that right there. For myself, best of the weekend was, hey guys, my son. I won't say he's a prodigy. I'm not going to sit here and say nothing like that. But he's playing good baseball.
I see clutch
he's playing good baseball. Gets the game-winning hit, pitches in the game. Never had pitched before. Pitched 2 innings, 5 strikeouts. All 5 strikeouts were swinging strikeouts. Loved it. I lost my mind a little bit. You know what I mean? The biggest part I was proud of the weekend, he had like one better left to go. Coach ready to take him out the game. And I told him, I'm that parent from the sideline. And I was like, yo, you got one chance. Show them who you are. And he throws a strike, and he decided the inning came up. Improbable to win the game. They needed one run to win the game. It's little league baseball. First guy gets on, gets all the way around, gets tagged at home. Guys on third, 2 straight walks. My son comes back up the bat. First pitch, bank, hits the ball. So I lost my ever-loving mind watching that and love watching his progression in that and where he's going with little league. And the best part I like the most, Wally, I was always afraid of my son not being able to maybe deal with me as his father and everything. And I asked him, you know, my son's pretty much Lonzo Ball, and I'm LaVar Ball. And he just goes, gotcha. you're my dad. You're, you know what I'm saying? It's like I get it at home. So me yelling at him on the field, is he's unaffected by it. And that's what was dope to me. The worst of the weekend was simply nothing. In sports, absolutely nothing. I loved everything we got this week. I have nothing negative to say whatsoever. I'm excited about Raw tonight. I'm excited about the week this before us in the NCAA tournament. I cannot wait. Look for Fox Sports Bracket. I will have it out sometime this evening on our Twitter account, on our Facebook as well. So with that being said, listen, do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me some me and don't love God. We're out of here, y'all. We ain't on Friday, y'all. We watching the game. What you watching? Peace!
This is the Shoulder Sports, hosted by Mike Knox. It's barbershop talk, still we think outside the box. We take it to the hoop, y'all be trying to find your shot. Sports talk, the best on the dial when it's time to rock. We talking football, baseball, boxing, any sports you can name. Keep your radios locked in. Listen, you can get the scoop on all your top 10. Mike Knox, Soul and Sports, we keep it hot, man.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold sets up.
If you're not down with that, we got 2 words!